Okay, our next presentation is from Stephanie L. Hayek, and the title of her talk is Follicle Stimulating Hormone Regulates Contact and Communication with the Mouse Ovarian Follicle, or this new title, I'm sorry.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. As Michelle said, I'm going to stay on the subject of FSH, but now tell you how it regulates contact and communication in the follicle and how that affects the oocyte's development. Okay, so to start off, as Jerome mentioned, folliculogenesis is a process of follicle development in the ovary. And throughout this process, the oocyte grows, develops, and matures. And folliculogenesis can be divided into two phases. There's the earlier phase, whereby the primordial becomes primary, then secondary, then early antral follicle. And this can occur in the absence of follicle-stimulating hormone, or FSH, and thus it's termed the FSH-independent phase. But the growth of the follicle from that stage onwards critically relies on FSH, and so this late stage of folliculogenesis, we call it the FSH-dependent phase. Now, one way we came to know about these FSH-independent versus dependent phases is through the FSH knockout mouse model. Now, these mice have no circulating levels of FSH, and the females are infertile. They have a block of folliculogenesis at the early antral stage, as you can see here. Now, their ovaries consist mostly of follicles at the secondary stage, and this early antral follicle shown here represents the most advanced stage of folliculogenesis that we can find in a knockout ovary compared to the nice, well-developed antral follicle we see here in the heterozygote. Now, our lab previously showed that oocytes of knockout mice are morphologically normal. They grow to a size and diameter that are comparable to those in heterozygotes. But the seemingly normal oocytes have reduced developmental competence. When they were fertilized by intracytoplasmic sperm injection, it was shown that the rate of blastocyst formation was significantly reduced. So FSH affects oocytes' developmental competence. Why should we care? Well, we should care because FSH is given to women undergoing IVF and ICSI, and although we know what FSH does for the follicle as a whole, how and by what mechanism it affects the oocyte's developmental competence is still unclear. And this is what we want to find out. So to explore a possible mechanism, we first began by examining the only cells of the follicle that do express the receptor for FSH, and these are the granulosa cells. So I isolated cumulus oocyte complexes, and these, as you can see in the pictures, consist of an oocyte surrounded by a few layers of granulosa cells. And we observed that in knockout complexes, there are fewer granulosa cells. So we came up with a DNA, with a qPCR-based assay that measures the DNA content of individual complexes isolated from knockout and heterozygote follicles. And the results show that the DNA content of knockout complexes is significantly reduced. So this means that in these knockout complexes, the oocyte is surrounded by a significantly lower number of granulosa cells. Now, the fact that there are less granulosa cells in these knockout complexes suggests that in the knockout follicles, the cellular interactions are defective, which could be a mechanism by which FSH, acting directly on the granulosa cells, is indirectly affecting the oocyte's developmental competence. So we thus hypothesize that FSH is required to maintain contact and communication in the follicle, and that this allows the oocyte to acquire its developmental competence. Now, when we talk about cellular contact and communication, we think of cell-cell junctions. And in the ovarian follicle, two main types of these junctions exist. We have the cadherin-based adherence junctions and the kinexin-based gap junctions. And their presence in the follicle throughout folliculogenesis is important because these junctions allow the follicle to function as a single physiological unit. So if we take a closer look within the follicle, between the granulosa cells, we find homotypic gap junctions that consist of connexin 43 and homotypic adherence junctions composed of NCADherin. Both NCAD and connexin 43 show a similar pattern of expression where we see in these paraffin-embedded sections staining at the junctions between the granulosa cells. Now, if we move to the interface between the oocyte and the granulosa cells, here too we have homotypic gap junctions, but composed of connexin 37, and the adherence junctions are heterotypic, where N-cadherin from the granulosa cell side binds E-cadherin from the oocyte side. Both ECAD and connexin 37, as you can see here, show staining around the oocyte cell membrane, which you can see with the arrows. I hope you can see with the arrows. Okay, so after having confirmed the expression of these junctional proteins in the follicle, our first question was how FSH affects the expression of these connexins and cadherins. And to answer that question, we first focused our attention on the late stage of folliculogenesis because, as mentioned, that's the FSH-dependent phase. So I isolated secondary follicles, and these are abundant in 12-day-old mice, and antral follicles from 21-day-old mice, and then mechanically and enzymatically separated these follicles into purified oocytes and purified granulosa cells. And then I look at the expression of the target genes. Now, in oocytes, I focus on CDH1 and GJA4, and these encode E-cadherin and connexin 37, respectively. In granulosa cells, I look at CDH2 and GJA1, and these encode N-cadherin and connexin 43, respectively. Now, qPCR results show that in heterozygotes, when we compare the antral stage to the secondary stage, there's a clear and significant increase in the mRNA levels of these connexins and cadherins. So in oocytes, CDH1 and GJA4 were significantly higher at the antral stage, and in granulosa cells, both CDH2 and GJA1 were significantly higher. So this shows that during the FSH-dependent phase, these junctional connexins and cadherins have an increased expression. But to see if this is actually due to FSH, we now did the same expression analysis, but with the knockouts. And we observe that the increase that occurs in the heterozygotes is now absent or reduced. So in oocytes, when we compare the early antral to the secondary knockouts, there's a decrease in CDH1 and GJA4. And in granulosa cells, CDH2 and GJA1 increase in the knockouts, but to a significantly lower extent than what happens in the heterozygotes. So these results show that FSH enhances the expression of these connexins and cadherins during the late stage of folliculogenesis. Now, to more definitively show the effect of FSH, I then compared the expression in age-matched follicles. So I collected follicles from 21-day-old knockout and 21-day-old heterozygotes, and compared the expression. In granulosa cells, both CDH2 and GJA1 were significantly lower in the knockouts compared to the heterozygotes. In oocytes, CDH1 was significantly lower, while there was no significant change in GJA4 levels. Now, the level of protein, both NCAD and connexin 43, were significantly lower when we compared the knockouts to the heterozygotes. Then we decided to look at an earlier stage of folliculogenesis, at the secondary stage, which is before the onset of the FSH-dependent phase. And interestingly, we saw lower levels even at this earlier stage. So here I'm comparing 12-day-old knockout and 12-day-old heterozygotes. In granulosa cells, CDH2 and GJA1 were lower, significantly lower in the knockouts. As in oocytes, CDH1 and GJA4 were also lower. And at the protein level, NCAD and connexin 43 were lower in the granulosa cells. So these results show that during the late stage of folliculogenesis, FSH increases the expression of the cadherins and connexins in both the oocyte and the granulosa cells, and knockout follicles have a reduced expression of the transcripts at the secondary as well as the early antral stage. Now, in the ovarian follicle, we have structures called transzonal projections, and these are cytoplasmic extensions of the granulosa cells, that extend throughout the zona pellucida, and that's the glycoprotein coat surrounding the oocyte, and come in contact with the oocyte cell membrane. And we know of two types of these TZPs. There's the actin-based and there's tubulin-based. And the actin-based transzonal projections are thought to form the contact sites at which gap junctions form between the granulosa cells and the oocyte. And these projections can be stained and visualized by confocal microscopy. The actin-based can be visualized with phalloidin, tubulin with anti-tubulin antibodies, and a membrane dye here used was FM143 can be used to look at the total TZPs because it stains both actin and tubulin. Now, because these constitute a form of interaction between the oocyte and the granulosa cells, we wanted to look at their distribution and density in the knockout oocytes. First, we looked at the total TZPs measured with stained with FM143. So this is the oocyte cell membrane, and the hair-like structures that you see are the TZPs extending throughout the zona. And when we measured the density, the total TZPs were significantly higher in knockout oocytes. Then we looked at each type by itself. Tubulin TZPs were also significantly higher or of a higher density in the knockouts. But when we looked at the actin-based TZPs with phalloidin, and those again are the ones that make the gap junctions, we saw that there's a significantly lower density of the actin-based TZPs. Okay, so to summarize, we show that during the late stage of follicular genesis, FSH enhances the expression of cadherins and connexins in both the granulosa cells and the oocyte, and this is with in accordance with the known role of FSH to affect gene expression in the follicle. And in the knockout follicles, we see a downregulation of the connexins and cadherins. We also show that in the knockout oocytes, there's a redistribution of the transzonal projections, whereby the tubulin-based, shown here in blue, are higher in the knockouts, and the actin-based, which mediate gap junctional communication, shown here in red, are lower in the knockouts. So the fact that the actin-based TZPs are lower, along with the fact that we saw lower connexin levels, suggests that gap junctional communication in the knockout follicles is reduced. We thus propose that this is the mechanism by which FSH affects the developmental competence of the oocyte. Okay, so I would like to thank my supervisor, Hugh Clark, my lab members, and my funding sources, and thank you all for listening.
One of the things we know about that happens with the LH surge is that all of these junctional complexes and all these interactions break down. Do you have any indication if FSH, but if you have more junctional complexes induced by FSH, if that has any effects on the consequent expansion of the cumulus oophorus, which occurs associated prior to ovulation?
Well, we know that in the knockouts, the transcripts, the gene transcripts related to cumulus expansions are downregulated. But I don't know if there's a strict relation between the connexins and the downregulation of these transcripts.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just curious, did you try the overlay of this tubulin and actin staining
yes.
in the transjection?
Yes.
They're distinct transjections.
They are distinct. They show up as distinct projections. But I can do that with the FM143 because I do that with live oocytes,
okay.
But I can do tubulin and actin together, yeah, and they show up as distinct.
Patricia Monnier, I am a clinician, so my question could be strange.
Okay.
But in clinic, we have the problem with patients with high FSH and low ovarian reserve. So my question is, I understand that FSH is very important for a good folliculogenesis. I understand that. But what about patients with abnormal high FSH? They are young and they have high FSH. And you have some argument to explain that this FSH has not good biological activities. You have some argument in the literature about that. Because I understand that FSH is interesting, it's necessary.
Yeah.
But how patients have a lot of FSH and bad functional ovaries. So what about the gap between high FSH in young patient and the function.
So you're saying if high FSH will, like how badly it affects the oocyte?
I don't know. I'm wondering if high FSH could have bad function and cannot improve a connection between granulosa cells and follicle and so on.
The only thing I know about this subject is that in IVM, when they mature oocytes, sometimes high levels of FSH can show poor embryo quality. But what happens in the patients that have high FSH, I don't know.
So it's a field for research. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
All right.